The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding here. Thank you so much for spending some time with me here in the summer, the dog days of summer, they call it, the midsummer, that gap between the 4th of July and Labor Day. When I remember back when I was a kid, you know, 4th of July. Of course, it was 4th of July was way different back then. You could literally buy M80s. At Ace Hardware and Ben Franklin and places like that. I don't remember if kids could buy them or not. We certainly got them. We certainly saw them there. And I don't know. But, you know, it was just, gosh, it was crazy. M80s, I don't even think they have those anymore. Just very explosive. I mean, a lot of things were different back then. You look at the playground equipment. We used to have, if you remember these, they would have sort of like a metal horse type of a swing. And you would go back and forth on it. And I've seen those now in sort of like an antique store. Some kids had to get really hurt on those because you just think this big thing with a kid on top of it swinging, and some kid walks by and isn't looking or backs into it. Life was a little bit more dangerous. I mean, we didn't even wear seatbelts. It was people would smoke next to you in the plane. I remember being flying on an airplane, and you know, you just haven't. Somebody sit next to you and they'd light up a cigarette and open up the ashtray that was on the handle, and it was just crazy, crazy. But at the same time, there was a lot more freedom. You know, we would just leave and say, hey, Mom, we'll be back for lunch, and come home for lunch, and then we'd be back for dinner. Okay, come home before it's dark. That's about it. But anyway, the reason I say that is because I just see now it's just very, very different. And the kids, you know, there's a lot more organized sports, and there's a lot less just go out and be free and that kind of stuff. So it's sort of sad that our kids, my kids anyway, never really got that to the degree. I think there's some kids in some rural areas that probably still are doing a lot like that, but it's pretty rare anymore. But anyway, at that time, you know, the 4th of July, you'd be thinking, oh, man, summer's getting close to being over. There's only however many, and you start counting weeks, and you'd start worrying about it. Like, oh, man, school's coming back. But, you know, this is also the time that life seems to kind of slow down a little bit. You know, everything just, I think, moves a little slower in the summer, and that's okay by me. But it is starting to be club volleyball tryouts and things like that for my youngest daughter. My oldest daughter is not going to play club because she'll be a senior, so she'll play for the high school, and then she won't play for the clubs. So the clubs, if you don't know, the clubs are after the high school season, so kind of in and through the winter. And, you know, it's one of those things that if there was anything like that when I was young, I didn't know about it. I didn't know anybody that was doing it. I knew, I mean, there probably was, but I just certainly wasn't to the degree that it is now, where you go to a gym, there's 600 girls trying out and six teams there and whatever the numbers would be, but just like a massive amount of girls trying out for these teams. But, you know, it's a different world, and it's certainly a more safe world in a lot of ways, but I guess if you look at it, where is it safe to let your kids go do the things that we used to do? Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get a grip on how many kids go missing. I mean, it's hard to get a grip on how many of those or running away versus getting abducted. But things you think about as a parent, and life going along here in the summer. So today, from the orthopedics, I wanted to talk about something I don't often talk about. I would even say rarely, because it's not my specialty, but I just seem to have had a lot of patients with different spine issues, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about the spine in general and how it relates, because people oftentimes don't understand. You know, sometimes I'll make a diagnosis in the office of what you would have heard of called a slipped disc, and I'm going to explain what that means. And how I'm making that diagnosis is they have pain in their leg, right? Sciatica is another way of describing that. And people say, well, I don't have any pain in my back. And then as far as from the neck, what happens if you have an issue with your spine at the neck level called the cervical spine, that will manifest in your arms, unless it's what we call a central canal stenosis, which would manifest in your legs as well. So let's talk about that. So let's start the neck. From a basic perspective, the vertebrae, there's 8 cervical vertebrae, and one of them your skull sits on, and the other one under that sits on that one. So it's like a stack, of bones, and at the very top is the skull, and the skull sits on one of the vertebrae. And your brain comes down and becomes the spinal cord. So there's a brain, and then all of that sort of funnels into the spinal cord. And the spinal cord then takes messages out and brings messages in. And so some of the spinal cord messages would go tell your muscles to move, and would tell all kinds of different things, would tell different organs to act in certain ways. And in other words, your heart can beat faster based on what you see. So if you see something that scares you, a signal will get sent down to your kidneys, and they will release what's called adrenaline or epinephrine. Epinephrine means above the kidney, the adrenal gland, and they will put out a hormone called adrenaline that will raise your blood pressure and do all those things that, you know, make your heart beat faster, all those things that happen when you get scared. But all that is coming from, so the sensation comes, it's interesting, the sensation comes in your eyes, and or it could be through your nose if you smell something, like if you smell smoke and you think there's a fire, those kind of things. Anyway, so the sensation comes in, the brain is sending those signals out down the spinal cord. And once you get into the spinal cord, then the cord branches off, and these branches come out in between the vertebrae. So as the vertebrae are stacked on each other, they have a disc in between them. That's why you hear the slipped disc. So the disc, all the body of the vertebrae will ride on the discs. And so the spinal cord divides into nerves, and these nerves come out in between. They come out below each vertebrae, right? And so in the cervical spine, you can have a couple different things happen. So the main hole in the vertebrae that the spinal cord goes down, if that narrows, that's called central canal stenosis. You just, obviously, you're not going to take notes and memorize this, but it's just interesting to try to give a concept of it. So if this central canal stenosis occurs, and this is not going to push on the nerves themselves, it's going to push on the actual spinal cord, and that can cause all kinds of different trouble. You can have trouble walking, you can have trouble with balance, trouble with you know, fine motor coordination in your hands. You can't pick things up, you lose the ability to write and things like that. So this central canal stenosis is one way that the cervical vertebrae can be the cause of a problem through the spinal cord. Now, as the spinal cord becomes nerves, and so the nerves come out on the right side and the left side, then there's a couple different ways that those nerves can be pinched. And one is the quote-unquote slipped disc, where the disc itself sort of ruptures So you just think of the disc as a pillow, but it's got like an inner ring and an outer ring. And if the outer ring ruptures, the inner ring, which is more like a gel, can push out and pinch a nerve. And if it pinches the nerve, then you can get pain. If it's bad enough, you can get weakness, and you can it can change your reflexes and all this stuff in the arms. Okay, so central canal stenosis can affect the whole body, including the legs. The slipped disc or herniated nucleus pulposus is the Latin name for it. But if your disc slips out, that can on one side or the other or both pinch the nerve as it is exiting the little canal, that not the central spinal canal, but the other little canals that the nerve goes out into the body through the vertebrae. Then the other way is you can build up arthritis in some of the joints in there, and that arthritis can cause that canal, not the central spinal canal, it can that too, but it can cause the, it's called a foramina, plural. So a foramen is just the tunnel through the bone that the nerve passes out of the spinal cord. So nerve, spinal cord becomes, it branches off to become a nerve, and that nerve goes out the foramen. It can get pinched either by a disc that has lost its integrity and is bulging out and pinching it, or it can get pinched because the foraminal canal itself, so that's the canal that the nerve is exiting, that can just build up extra bone, okay? Now, the operations for these in the cervical spine, if you have a cervical spine stenosis, they can open up the spine from the back and just give it more room. If you have a foraminal stenosis, so it's pinching on the nerves, oftentimes they'll go through the front, put a block of bone in there, put a metal plate between one bone and the other, and then that's called a fusion. So then you no longer have motion between those two vertebrae. The problem with it is that then you, because your body is designed to have motion at each of these vertebrae, so if you fuse two of them, then the vertebrae above and the vertebrae below, those joints will be overtaxed, and then those start having problems. So it can kind of build on itself. But that's basically what happens in the cervical spine. If you have a central stenosis in the cervical spine, that can affect the arms and the legs and the bowel and the bladder and everything, and you can have problems walking and balance. If you have foraminal stenosis, the foramen are the little tunnels of bone that the nerves exit the spinal canal and through the vertebrae go out into the body and give the signals and get the signals. So there's one nerve that will go take a signal from the brain out into the body, like your brain is telling your hand to move, something like that. And then there's another different nerve pathway that would tell you if you touch something hot, your pain receptor at your fingertip would then shoot, a pain receptor would create an electrical impulse, and that would shoot up and into the brain, and your brain would sense the pain, and then it would come back really quick and your hand would move away from it. And that's what's called a reflex. And now in the thoracic spine, that's the between the neck and down to the lower back, it's a lot less common to have these things. You almost never get a foraminal stenosis. In other words, you don't typically get nerves in the thoracic spine that need to be decompressed, because there's not a lot of big nerves coming out in the thoracic area to the same extent that there are in the cervical and lumbar areas. And there's not a lot of musculature. It's mostly nerves that are going to your organs. So then you get down in the lower back, and the lower back called the lumbar spine or the lumbosacral spine. The lumbar spine goes down to the pelvis and attaches there, and the sacrum attaches the pelvis to the spine. So the lumbar spine attaches to the sacral spine, which attaches to the pelvic bone. Now, the same kind of thing can happen in the lumbar spine. So you still, at this point, the spinal cord has become a bunch of nerves. So there's no more actual cord down in the lumbar spine. As it's coming out of the brain, it's one solid big thing that starts to split off. I'm talking about the spinal cord. Brain comes down into the spinal cord. Spinal cord looks like a rope up there. And then little, let's say, tethers of the rope exit, and that's the nerves. And then by the time it gets down to the lumbar spine, it's all tethers. There's no sort of rope structure anymore once it gets down that low. So you don't really have a spinal cord injury if you have a trauma in your lower spine. Like if you have a spinal cord injury, that's the neck or the thoracic spine, because it's no longer in a solid structure. It's called the cauda equina, which means tail of the horse in Latin, because it's just all these nerves coming out. So the nerves will come out, and it's the same process. So there's a central canal, and they're all going down through there, but then they all exit under each vertebrae from the left and the right side. And the same thing happens. You can have a disc that bulges out and pinches on one of the nerves. You can have central stenosis in the lumbar spine. It just doesn't manifest the same way that it does. It's more of a pain thing. You don't start wobbling when you walk and things like that. But the foramina, if you have a foraminal stenosis, so the nerve is coming out through this foramen or foramina, and the nerve root is going out, and there's an outgoing nerve and an ingoing nerve, and they're in one structure. All the little nerve fascicles are in one structure, and then they branch off later as they get out. And you can either have a disc that bulges and pinches on that, or you can have the foramen itself, the bony tunnel that the nerve is going out, can pinch on the nerve as it's exiting. And so that's why you have pain in your leg and you were getting an MRI of your back. Because if the pain goes down your leg and it's clearly not coming from your hip or your knee and it's going down the back of your leg, maybe it goes to your toes, maybe you have some weakness in your toes, you can't bring your toe up or you can't bring your foot up. This is all just different levels of sciatica. And sciatica is just named for the main nerve that comes out. It's the sciatic nerve, and then that branches into all the other nerves in the leg. But when it's back up coming out of the spine, it's called the sciatic nerve. And so I was real heavy on anatomy. I didn't think I was going to go that heavy on anatomy, but I think it gives you a framework for understanding that there's back pain and then there's sciatica, and those are two different things. And typically, we don't do a lot of we being orthopedic surgeons who do spine. It's not really we, but they. Only a fraction of the surgery that they'll do is for actual back pain. Most of the time when they're doing surgery on the spine, it's because of leg pain or weakness. The results of a spine surgery for back pain are not nearly as good. Now, certainly it happens, and they do what we call fusions. Same thing, they'll open up the back, they'll take out the disc, they'll put some bone in between the two discs, and then they can put some metal in between. And in the lumbar spine, the lower back, they do a lot more multi-level fusions. So 3, 4, 5 vertebrae being fused at the same time, which they rarely, rarely do in the cervical spine. But I just thought, since I'd had so many patients who kind of recently didn't understand why I'm examining them and I raise their leg up and it hurts down to their heel on the back of their leg, and I tell them they have a problem in their spine, and they say, well, I don't have any back pain. That's why you can have symptoms in your body that your doctor is saying are coming from your neck or your back. And what they're really saying is your spinal cord or your nerves are being impeded by something structural, meaning that the bones that are supporting that spine and protecting it, or the cushions in between the discs, are protruding on either the spinal cord itself or the nerves as they come out. And that's where the problem is. And that's why they're doing a spine surgery to take care of weakness in your arm or weakness in your leg or pain in your leg or things like that. So I hope that was helpful to any of you who kind of don't understand why a doctor would be talking about your spine or your neck when your symptoms are out in the arms or legs. So I hope that was helpful. Don't talk about it much. It's not my area of specialty, but of course, learned a whole lot about it in residency and still do make those diagnoses. I still need to be able to make a diagnosis, differentiate between hip pain and low back pain, and between low back pain and sciatica. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that, and we'll be back on to something more in my wheelhouse next week, and you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.